Blog Talk Radio.
This is truly a day that the Lord has made. We should all just rejoice and be glad in it. It's now the 8:30 hour and it's time for Inspirational Wednesday. This is a Bible study where we explore the Word of God together. Everyone is welcome. And our message is plain and simple. I'm your host, Diane Adams, and I thank God for allowing us to come together again on tonight. God is doing wonderful things in the midst of all of the storms that's going around us, injustice and evil, and the world is doing what the world does. The world is identified by flesh. It's flesh of the eyes. You know, the pride of life. You know, and just flesh. Flesh does what flesh does. But God told us we had to live in this world. But he said we don't need to be of this world. We are God's children, and we are should be striving to be and have in kingdom living right here on earth. But you got to understand it. You got to believe it to achieve it. You know, those who decided to read the printed text, it wasn't nothing new that I gave. I asked that you guys review the first and the second chapter of Revelation. And I want you to know the lesson title for tonight is God is trying to tell you something. God is trying to tell all of us something. He's been telling us over and over through the centuries and the years and the days. You know, the Bible, which has 66 books, is God speaking to us. So he wrote 66 books so we can truly stand on the fact that he's truly trying to tell us something. Before we get into the lesson, we have to go to the throne of grace. And if anybody out there would like to pray, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open a mic and you'll pray. Madison is not with me tonight, so I'll go ahead and pray so we could get into the lesson. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, love of our souls, dear Heavenly Father, I just want to come to you tonight to say thank you. Thank you for allowing us one more time to explore your word together. Thank you for all of the callers that call in week after week. Thank you, dear God. Thank you for the privilege of allowing me to stand before them. Thank you, God. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for using me as a vessel to give your word to your people. Thank you, God. Lord, I pray for everyone that calls into this program. I thank you for everyone that have a desire to call and didn't. Lord, I thank you for people that's going to call sometime in the future. And I thank you for everyone that had called in the past and maybe stopped. Lord, have mercy upon us, dear God. Guide us and protect us in the way that we should go. Lord, I know you know how to motivate us and stimulate us to get us to do your will and your way. Lord, it is our job to give you glory, to give you honor, and to give you praise whatever we're doing. Whatever you have given to me in my hand and us in our hands, dear God, I pray that we do good stewardship and do what you would want us to do for it and with it. Have mercy upon us, dear God, because we can't make it without you. is never predicated on what we could do, but what you can do, dear God. Open our eyes and our ears that we can see and hear and know what you have for us to do. Lord, I'm going to lean and depend on your unchanging hand. I thank you that you say you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Heavenly Father, I just ask that you just have your way with this lesson on tonight. I pray that the word don't return void. And I'm asking the Holy Spirit to give illumination and a revelation with everything that is being said so that your people may be edified, Satan can be horrified, and you, Jesus, can be glorified. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen, and thank God. And that's our prayer for tonight. Now, I have a song that I think is appropriate. I'm going to put the song on, and once I put the song on and when the song goes off, I'm going to come back and we're going to explore the word of God together. But, you know, while a song is playing, you could be prayerful. You know, plenty of times people say they went to Bible study or went to church and they didn't get nothing out of it. You know, sometimes you got to wonder if you put anything in it. If you're going before a Bible study for God to reveal and don't let his word return void, you have to go into it with a spirit of expectancy, expecting God to give you something that can help you to advance you in the kingdom. So as I play this song, you know, you be prayerful, and I'm going to come back and we're going to explore the word of God together. Be blessed. should always ask ourselves the question, what is God trying to tell us? And we're going to go into the lesson. We're going to be in the book of Revelation, the second chapter, the 18th through the 29th verse. On last week, those who called in or went on the internet, we were in Revelation, the second chapter. We did the first through the 17th. And the time we was on before that, we did the first chapter of Revelation. You know, as always, I like to give a background and talk a little bit about it. And when we started after the first, in the first chapter, it spoke about seven churches in Asia Minor. And the second chapter began with the writings to the churches. And tonight I'm going to do the last church in the second chapter. And there's still going to be three other churches that's listed in the third chapter of Revelation. So if possible, and if you all agree, we'll do that on next week if the Lord said the same. But I only did one church tonight. The first, when I did the other churches, I did three because I wanted to stop. And I wanted to give review and background on the book of Revelation, and hopefully you did review it again, the first and second chapter, and you had read the first chapter already, and then you read it again in a second. You know, you can't overread the Word of God. You can't have an attitude that, oh, I read it before, or, oh, I know that, I don't need to read it, because every time you read it, there's a possibility of you finding something that's new. So I'm going to go with the background. I want you guys to know that to understand the book of Revelation, you must first realize who the actual author of Revelation is. You must understand the critical, important theme of the book and the centerpiece that the book is surrounding. You know, all of this is vital to understand Revelation. And, you know, many times, as I say, when I first did chapter one, that when I was a little girl, I remember hearing people say, if you read Revelation, you're going to go crazy. And they said it was too hard to understand. You know, and after growing in grace and the knowledge of God and coming before you on tonight, I realized that why would God put something in the Bible you couldn't understand in the first place? Why would God put something in the Bible that you, it would be too much for you or make you go crazy? That's ludicrous. You know, and people held on that for years and years and years and years and years and years. But I want you to know that, you know, if you take a closer look, you see the first chapter, verse 1 and 2 explains itself. Now, I know y'all have y'all Bibles. So if you're in the second chapter, turn it back to the first. And if you go to the second, the first chapter with the second verse, it explains itself. It says, the revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave to Jesus. And he sent and magnified it by his angel to his servant. God gave the message to Jesus. Jesus gave the message to his special angel, his servant. And then the angel or the servant gave the message to John. So if we got that clear, God gave the revelation. He gave it to his son, the revelation of his son to his son, which God gave to Jesus. And he sent and magnified it by the angel unto his servant, John, who bears record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is what John is being used for. Some people might say, why he picked John? He picked John because he wanted John. Was John more holy? Was John more this? You know, God has something for everybody, and everything is not for everybody. God showed his love for all his people. Paul, you know, you could have said, some may say Paul should have did it, or Peter, you know, and You know, you can say God does what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, for who he wants. And he chose John for this job. I want to ask you because, you know, I don't know how much you dabbled in the book of Revelation. But did you notice that the book of Revelation contains Jesus Christ writing the entire, well, not the entire, because John introduced himself, but the entire second and third chapter is written in red. So that lets us know that that's Jesus talking. So Jesus is giving a message that was given to him by the Father for the seven churches in Asia Minor and was given a message to John to write it down. Hallelujah. You see, by being written in red, we know that that's Jesus writing, and Jesus is writing as the revelator, not John. You see, John was merely a scribe, a secretary taking dictation. With that being out of the way, put your mind and as I do the rest of the chapter, second chapter of Revelation, it's all in red writing. So turn on your ears to say this is Jesus talking. You know, and sometimes, you know, this is a fair question I'm going to ask. Why do you want to study Revelation? You see, some people seek this information to look knowledgeable to others. You know, and they want to talk about the prophecy, and they got it all pointed down, and they make all these mistakes like the rapture is going to be 2011, the Armageddon and the end of the world, and none of that has come to pass. So they're not as smart and knowledgeable as they think. You see, some like to discuss it because they enjoy frightening others. You know, when some of the preachers was in a pulpit in the past and nobody understood and it was so scared of Revelation, they say from the pulpit to frighten others. Some others look into it because it is now fashionable to know about Revelation. Come on now. God reveals everything he wants at his time. And when he's ready for it, this is a God thing. You see, all these reasons are improper because Revelation was written for sincere and humble servants called by God who seek to learn what he has been doing, what he's doing now, and will be doing. You know, this is just like my first lesson in Revelation, the first chapter. The title of the lesson was, God never leaves his people in the dark. And even when there's things that God is doing and he haven't revealed it yet, he will reveal it at the proper time, and you will not be in the dark. God never leaves his people in the dark. You see, he has an appointed time to reveal his master plan, and here we see he's using a book of Revelation. He said he will reward those who diligently seek him in faith. In the book of Revelation, there are seven promises, seven promises and seven, like seven rewards. And in the first chapter, he said those who read it, hear it, and keep it will be blessed. Seven blessings, sevenfold blessings. And one of them was in the first chapter. But he said he reward those who diligently seek him. Now, I'm not telling you tonight or even the next lesson that I could give you everything in the book of Revelation. But it is my job and my duty to hopefully present it in a way that you want more and you decide to get the more. That's my prayer for you tonight. And, you know, the scripture after each message to the church, they say, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. So if he say, those who have an ear, let them hear what the Spirit is saying. Even though the letter to the seven churches was written to seven churches, there was real literal churches in Asia Minor. The letters was written at the church, to the church at different times, at different things, what was ever going on at that time. That's when the letter was written. And it was written to seven churches. But it says after each message to the church, they say he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Do you have an ear? If they say he that have an ear, they're talking about people. They're talking about the believers in Christ. They're talking about you, and they're talking about me. Because we know after studying that we are the church. But the seven churches was real literal churches, but we are the church. You see, Revelation is placed last in the Bible for a reason. Not only was it the last book written, but with the hope that the readers would have familiarized themselves with the other books in the Bible which came before it. Hallelujah. You got that? Revelation does not stand alone. In the book of Revelation, you will find notations, reference, prophecies that has already been said. The Bible teaches us that there's nothing new under the sun. So when you get in Revelation, it's not going to tell you everything you didn't know. You know, they prophesize by when that Armageddon's going to come in. And the book of Daniel, in the book of Ezekiel, tells a lot of prophecy what's going to happen in the end times. Come on now. So if you study and read that in Revelation, it's been said before. You see, it is easy it's really as if God is saying, listen here, I'm going to put everything in a nutshell. In this book of Revelation is everything that I have said before. Now I'm saying it again, and this is the last time that I will write it down and give it to you. You already had 65 books, and I'm coming with number 66. The book of Revelation. He's saying it's not new that I haven't said or prophesied or gave you a glimpse of. But now I'm giving you the revelation. Think about it, y'all. He said, now I'm giving you the revelation. You see, to study the book of Revelation without knowledge of the rest of the Bible is like trying to study calculus before learning arithmetic. I want you to know that, you know, we living in what you call a church age. You see, when and how this is a church age, you know, they had dispensation and they had ages of time in the church. And you need to know that this is the church age. And then you say, well, Sister Diane, how you know it's the church age? Because he's writing to the churches in all of the churches. He's writing to the churches, and really, this age in the church started after Pentecost. I pray that you guys are familiar with that. The church age started at Pentecost. That's when the churches were established. And you see what I'm saying is not nothing new because in Matthew's, the 16th chapter and the 18th verse, Jesus said, I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. That was said in Matthew's, which Jesus was just being born. And here in the book of Revelation, we see that it's coming true. Jesus has kept his promise, and his church has now been growing for over 2,000 years. You see, we're living in a church age, and a church age is going to end when the rapture comes. Because when the rapture comes, the body of Christ, the believers in Christ, dead or alive, will be raptured with Jesus in the air. We will be taken away from the earth. So that's when the church age will end. You know, Jesus said he's coming for his bride. Jesus said he's going to marry the church. The church, the body of Christ, is going to be his bride. So they will be taken away from the earth for the marriage. Come on, y'all. The marriage supper of the Lamb. Jesus talking about being connected and attaching marriage to the believers. And Jesus said that the church is the bride of Christ. So we're going to go ahead and read these scriptures. I wanted you to know that God gave a message to Jesus, to get to the angel, to get to John, on every church. Each one of those churches had a specific condition they was going through. That he had a specific problem, an error that needed to be corrected. Does that sound like our churches today? And I already told you that we are the church, so it's also talking to each one of us, because one, two, or maybe three of the errors that these churches had, we might see them in ourselves. He was talking to the church, because you see, until a church, while a church age is going on, and it has been going on for time, and we living in a church age, he's saying, get it right. He said, please get it right. So that's why the letter was written to the seven churches, because it represents the churches throughout history, from the beginning, now, until Jesus come back. Y'all could understand what I'm saying. You know, they have a lot of churches that doing good, and they have a lot of churches doing some things ain't good, and they got a lot, you know, they got a lot of stuff that's going on. And not only in the church organization, but in our individual lives. He said, but get it right. He said, get it right. This is God and Jesus. This their last writing. Don't you that there's something in there special for you? Something in there that's like, you know, when your mama tell you, you know, girl, don't do that, and girl, don't do that. And, you know, sometimes if, you know, she's real firm and she said, look, I'm not going to tell you again. And I'm going to tell you this one more time, and I pray that you get it. To me, that's almost like God is doing to us with the book of Revelation. He's trying to tell us something. And if you got an ear, hear what the Spirit has to say. You see, in the letters, you know, there was a church named Ephesus. You know, that church, he told them, y'all forgot your first love. And then the church in Smyrna, you know, there was two churches that didn't have error, Samara and the church of Philadelphia. All of the church had some kind of problem. But if you take notice how each letter was written, the letter was written off, and it started off each one of them with exhortation, encouragement, and admiration to the people. And that's what God does with us. Yeah, we might do some things right. And what you're doing right, he gonna tell you you're doing right. And then we're doing some things wrong. Look at this letter and apply it and see how you fit in it, these letters. But every letter, he starts off with encouragement, admiration, exhortation towards the people. And then he turn around and he say, but, plenty of time. And then he says what he have to say to them about their errors and their ways. And then he turned back around and give them hope. But if you repent, if you follow me, and each one of them churches, he used some of the expressions of himself that he said he would give them. You know, when you see, you know, like I think the church tonight, and I'm jumping a little bit, when it was over, he said, I'll make you, he said, I will give you the morning star. We know that Jesus is our morning star. He's using this to show you, you know, that he has himself ready to give to you. And remember, our end result, and not our end result, the end of our beginning in a rapture, when he takes and give us these glorified bodies and he prepare us for the wedding. And don't you know when there's a wedding and there's a real, if it's a real groom, how he adorns his wife? So he said, I'm going to make you the morning star. To one of the churches we had last week, he said, I'm going to let you eat of the fruit from the tree of life. Come on, y'all. He's just giving us examples to say, I'm going to give you me wholeheartedly. And I want you to do the same. And I want to make sure you make the marriage. Because, you know, they got that parable about the virgins, the five virgins, and the ones that wasn't ready, the wise and the foolish virgins. He is telling you, come on, y'all, let's get it right. So the church of Ephesus had forsaken their first love. Samaria, the church had suffered persecution, but they suffered persecution, but they kept holding on to the confession of their faith. Pergamon, the church that needed to repent. So he's telling us, if your church or you fit in some of these things, you know, have you forgotten your first love? You don't read like you used to. You don't study like you used to. You don't go to church like you used to. Your first love, when you met Jesus, you had a zeal. It wasn't according to knowledge, and you had to be there all the time. And now you're more lax. You pick up the Bible. You know, have you lost your first love? That's how the church at Ephesus was. Hallelujah. And then Samaria, they just kept learning how to suffer alone. Can you suffer alone? And then Thyatira, that church had a false prophet. That's the church we're going to speak on tonight. The other church, Sardia, you know, that was a church that had fell asleep. How many churches, you know, it's just as dead as if they're sleeping? And how many people you know, as in reference to the day, the things of God, they just as dead and unconcerning? You see, the letter is for the churches, but the letter is for each one of us. And he said, this is the last time I'm going to tell you. He wrote it, you know, really over 200 years ago because, you know, he wrote it, the Bible, you know, many, many years ago. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, all I'm asking that you get it right. So we're going to go into our lesson for tonight, and I wanted to give you that on Revelation, and I'm going to keep giving it to you until we get to where we can stop. I'm not saying I could give you Revelation, break it down, and break it back up, you know, with every point, because, you know, I don't play with the Word of God. You know, I read it for myself, and some things I understand fully, and I share, and some things I don't, and if I don't, I can't share it with you, because I wouldn't be able to put it in words for you to really get it, to understand. So whatever way God is going to lead me with this, and the Holy Ghost is going to guide me through this, is where we're going to go. But all I want you to tell you, you know, my message is word, my program is Word of Wisdom, and it says it's plain and simple. I'm a plain and simple girl, and that's the way I bring a message. But I want you to understand that I'm giving you what the Holy Ghost gave me, but he gave it for you to take it to where he wants you to go with it. So don't stop. You know, they had the church of Laodicea. That church was lukewarm. Church of Philadelphia, Philadelphia was a church that was patient. Are you patient? Then you fit in that category. Are you lukewarm? I could call you Philadelphia. It's not no mystery, y'all. He's given us something to use to evaluate where we are and decide where we want to go. So if we go into the Word, you know, and I'm going to ask you this and I'm going to go into the Word. Can you see yourself in one or more of these descriptions of the churches? God is trying to tell us, and I don't like, you know, y'all know I don't say y'all. God is telling us something and is speaking to us. And after each thing he writes to each church, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Open up your ears tonight, y'all. Open up your heart to receive the message that God gave to Jesus. Jesus gave it to the angel. The angel gave it to John, and John wrote it down in the book of Revelation. And right now we at Revelation, the second chapter, the 18th verse. And the angel unto the church of Thyatira writes, these things said the Son of God, who has his eyes like unto a flame of fire and his feet as brass. What he's doing, he's describing, Jesus is telling John to write the story, but he's given us a description of him. Nothing new that never has been said, but you take the words and you put it to his character and you see that it's him. Now, remember, all of the second and the third chapter, and we in the second chapter, is written in red, so this is Jesus talking. So you don't have to wonder who's saying this. And it's saying, and unto the angel of the house of Thyatira, he's telling John, write it down. These things say the Son of God. He's talking about himself, who has his eyes like flaming fire. He's given a description of how he's going to look there. And his feet are like brass, fine brass. You know, brass is strong. He's telling you what he was working with. But he tell a church, I know thy works and thy charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works. And the last to the more than the first. He said, you know, sometime the last will be, and he's talking about the last will be, the first will be last and the last will be first. Nothing new. Under the sun. And that's what Jesus said to that church. He's telling John to write the letter. And that's what he's saying to the church. You see, here we see the message given to the church of Thyatira. Again, Jesus gave a message of encouragement. You see that? He said, I know your works. Your charity, your service, your faith, and your patience, thy works, and the last to be more than the first. He said, keep doing it. Yeah, I see you. I see you working out your soul's salvation. You see, but that church was basically circular, with no focus on any particular religion. The believers were commended for growing in good deeds. The fire and the brass and the description of Jesus emphasize his promise to judge false teachers of this church. He's telling them, I got brass feet. You know I got the power. And my eyes is like flames of fire. I got the power. I'm going to have the strength. He said, I'm coming in and I can judge. So he used that description to depict his ability to do what he set out and going to do. But you see, since the church was controlled by females, it was a town and it was dominated by the clothing, the dye, and the cloth industry. So it's possible why this church, false teachers, were female. One main male female that he was talking to. Okay, we see that. Jesus explained his credentials to be able to judge. Then he come and I did that part. And then now we're going to read. He said he gave them all the accolades. And then when we get to 20, they say, notwithstanding. Now watch how he do it. I have a few things against thee, because thou suffered it, that woman Jezebel. which called herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent for her fornication, and she repented not. Isn't that what God telling us? You know, he's telling us, didn't I tell you don't touch that? Didn't I tell you don't eat that? Didn't I tell you not to go there? He said, I keep telling you, and I'm giving you time. But God is patient. He said, behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into tribulations, except they repent of their deeds. God's still giving chances. He told them what they did right. Now he's telling them what they did wrong. That's what he's doing for us. And I will kill our children. And when they talk about the children, they're really talking about her followers, her disciples, not her physical children. With that, and the churches shall know that I am he which searches the rims and the heart. And I will give to everyone according to your works. You, me, your mama, your daddy, your children, your sister, your brothers, the preacher, the teachers. I will give everyone according to his work. And y'all need to remember that only what you do for Christ will last and count on the other side. Because the Bible teaches us that everything is going to be burnt up with fervent heat. So that Jezebel is in there. And they really kind of listening to her. There was a self-proclaimed prophetess in Tyatira, whom Jesus called Jezebel. She was leading the church into false doctrine, idolatry, and morality, just as the Old Testament Jezebel. Now, her name might not be Jezebel, but Jezebel was kind of just a bad woman who was evil and did things, because in the Old Testament, they had a king, and his wife's name was Jezebel. And she was really terrible, so Jesus called her Jezebel, because the Jezebel in the Old Testament was a long time ago. You see, but this Jezebel, he called her Jezebel, probably because of her actions, well, y'all know. She refused to repent and therefore would judge her along with her followers and her children. What he's saying? He said, you can't hide from me. You can run, but you can't hide. He's saying, I'm going to search the heart. You know, so you could go around with that lip service. Oh, I love you. You could tell the story any way you want it, because you know people usually tell a story that best fits them, what they're trying to make themselves feel. You could stand up boldly and you know, march in a line that has a line for Christians. You could do whatever you want, but God looks at the heart. And that's why he said when he doing a judging, and some people you think should be there won't be, and some of the ones you think should won't be, and some of the ones you think shouldn't be will be there. Jesus is telling you, I'm going to give the rewards. I'm going to do the judging. He said, but I'm going to look at the heart. So you see, when you faking it till you make it, and you know, if somebody else don't know, you know, we have these sins that we hide behind doors, and we have, you know, these almost like we all bipolar, because we act one way here and then we act something way different there. He said, get it right. He said, I'm judging the heart. So if you didn't think he judged the heart, now you know. So if you want to receive the rewards that he have for you, you got to have a righteous heart. And if we look at the last verses, they say, but unto you I say, and unto the rest of Tyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak. Look what he said. He's telling them for plenty of y'all is really trying. And he was making a way for the ones that maybe wasn't so learned and so easy to learn. He said, because you have not known the depths of faith, Satan, as they speak. He said, but let me tell you, see, to those, I will put upon you none other burdens. He said, I ain't going to put no more burdens on you. I looked at your heart. You know, they doing their trickery and trying to get you in. He said, but I will put upon you none other burdens. Watch, but look what he's telling them, the church, and us in 25. He said, but that which ye have already hold fast till I come. If you don't learn nothing else and just hold fast to everything you know. You know, we know so much in the word of God that we ain't achieved yet. If we don't learn no new word and come and meet up righteously with all of the word we know, Jesus will probably be back. He said, I ain't going to put no more burden on you, but all I'm asking that you just hold on to the confession of the faith that you already know and have. Hallelujah. He said, because he that overcome, and I'm in 26, he that overcome and keepeth my works until the end, I will give power over the nations. See, they say we're going to be kings and priests. And the reason they say that was in the Sunday school lesson some time ago, because, and they put an S on kings and an S on priests, because Jesus is going to be the only true king. But we're going to be able to rule and reign with him. It's a part of the promise. And he shall rule them with a iron rod, as the vessel of pottery. You know, that's clay. Clay is weak and fragile. He said he's going to be ruling them with a rod of iron, and they're going to be like clay, like putty. They shall be broken and shivered, even as I receive of my father. My dad gave me the power, y'all. He said it all be in my hand. He's just explaining. He's saying, he's telling you, even as I received of my father. And 28 said, and I will give him the morning star. The ones that overcome, the ones he's not going to put no more burden, because he understood their level of understanding and maybe comprehension. He said, I'm not going to put no more on you. But what you already know and what you have already comprehended, just hold on to that. He's saying, if you do that, I'm going to let you reign with me, and I'm going to have a rod of iron, and they're going to be like potty. They're going to be like clay, because, you know, we're going to be the army. We're going to have on the whole armor of God, and we're going to be walking with power and strength. And we already have the victory. Why you think Satan tried to keep people out of the book of Revelation for so many years? He know the end. He done read it. He hope you don't read it so you could walk around with no hope, not realizing and not giving God the glory for what Jesus Christ has done on the cross. Because you see, Jesus Christ did it. They say we have the victory. If you gave Jesus your heart and you gave the preacher your hand and you believe, accepted, and you believe that Christ Jesus is Lord, God took time and wrote the book of Revelation to give you the hope and assurance that you will be saved, and everything that he promised in the by and by is there waiting for you, baby. Satan's going to be defeated. We're going to have a new Jerusalem here on earth. Every day going to be Sunday. Everything going to be hotty, hotty. There will be no sickness. There will be no death. Come on, y'all. There ain't going to be none of that. He said, stop setting all your sights on this world, because this world going to let you down. Look at that young man in Baton Rouge standing on the corner. Evidently was in agreements with the man who owned the store. He was in front of his place trying to make money to feed his children. Now, it's not right to sell taste, but he wasn't stealing. And I'm not justifying that part, but, I mean, you know, in the culture, they sell tapes. He had to spend money to buy the tapes. He had to take time and do the work to make the tapes. It's the world we live in. And God wants us as Christians to be concerned. But you can't sit down and worry, because worry does not accomplish anything. And I'm not telling you, I didn't say don't be compassionate. I didn't say don't be concerned. Because you can look at Donald Trump for 3 days and lose your mind. But God said, I got something better. And I'm telling you in the book of Revelation, I'm bringing you to the end. I'm giving you imagery, and I'm giving you symbols, and I'm giving you, hallelujah, just so that you'll know. Because I don't want to leave you in the dark. As I close my lesson tonight, here is where Jesus gave hope. There were some believers that did not accept the depth teaching of Satan. They should hold tightly to their basics Christian faith and deal with extreme caution. And that's telling us. And don't say that don't happen, because you see, Jim Jones was a cult and all them people went there. Come on now, y'all. They have some churches, you know, if you really dig deep in them right now, that seem like cults. Operate like cults. So it's real. But he's saying, view with extreme caution any new teaching that turns you away from the Bible, from your fellowship with your church, or basic confession of your faith. Don't be compromising. If it's not saying Jesus, run. The obedient believer will be given rewards of power and authority in a millennium kingdom. Millennium just means 1,000. You know, in the Bible, when y'all start reading y'all Revelation, they got a period of 1,000 years. And it's just called millennium because of the 1,000 years. And certain things is going to happen at that time. Jesus is going to reign. And we're going to reign with Jesus. Jesus said that those who overcome and remain faithful. This is for you guys. I'm going to give you Jesus' message. It's in the book of Revelation. It's in red writing. Jesus said that those who overcome and remain faithful until the end and continue to please God will rule over Christ's enemies and reign with him as he judges evil. I think that was the lesson last week. They said when Jesus come back, he's going to come back on a cloud. And everyone will see him, and it got in a thing, if y'all read it twice, it says, even those who pierced him, some of the ones who pierced him at the cross, when Jesus come back, they're going to see him, and they're going to know who he truly is, and they're going to be looking at him moaning. And some of our brothers and sisters and friends and neighbors or friends who didn't accept Christ going to see him for who he really is, and they're going to be moaning. That was last week. Lesson, that's what they was talking about. But he said, that's what's going to happen if you do that. And Jesus is called the morning star. You see, the morning star is probably a reference to the eternal presence of Jesus himself. Because every church, he describes himself how he's going to be with them in eternity and through eternity. And this one tonight, he's saying the morning star. You see, the morning star is probably a reference. You see, when the world is at its bleakest point, I don't know if y'all could touch and agree with me about the world in its bleakest point, when I made the comment about the young man, and it's just so much going on. It's bleak, but I just come to tell you, and when you read the book of Revelation, you're going to realize it's going to get worse before it gets better. Hallelujah. But when it's at his bleakest point, Jesus will burst onto the scene, always exposing evil with his light of truth and bringing his promised reward. So all I can tell you is, hold on, my brothers. Hold on, my sister. God is trying to tell us something. And tonight I ask, if you have an ear, please hear. Spirit is saying to the churches, and don't forget, we are the church. And that's our lesson for tonight. If anybody would like to make a comment about where we should go from here, or should we finish the third chapter, go into something else, because I'm sure you can finish them for yourself. But I would like to hear from you guys where to go with it. But if anybody have any comments or concern, you could press the one button on your phone. If you would like to add to it or take away, please help me, because I tell you all the time, I'm not the smartest tool in the shed, and God has given something to all of us. I have a caller. Your number is 985-224. Your mic is open.
Good evening, Sister Di. Yes, yes, we should continue with this. I have been so, so enlightened. I have been so blessed. I've missed you for the last 2 weeks, so I missed, and by you doing the review, I did read, I did study, as you had sent out the text for us to do, and I tell you, it is just so enlightening. It's so, this book that we've been so afraid of for so many years, you have really, really did so much for me, and I hope that the rest of our listeners want you to continue with the third chapter. Just want to say thank you, God bless you, and continue letting him use you.
Thank you so much, Sister Joyce Brown, Mother Joyce Brown, because I call her Sister Brown. She said, well, say Joyce. So Sister Joyce Brown, thank you so much for the encouragement and helping me to lay out the direction with the Holy Ghost as far as what direction he would have for me to go. You know, I don't take it lightly. And, you know, when I was going to do the last four churches tonight, he said, no, review. So, okay, review. And it has a purpose and a reason when you're listening. And many times, you know, God and his Holy Spirit speak to me. I'm not telling you every time I hear something, I obey. But I'm constantly listening, and I'm pressing for the mark of the high call, which is Christ Jesus. So I want to thank you for that encouragement, Sister Joyce Brown. And I pray that God continue to bless and give you revelation and information. And I want to tell you guys this. You cannot study the book of Revelation without praying to the Holy Spirit to reveal the signs and the symbol. And if you really looking, and if you call me, all of us, they have a chart with the signs and the symbols in the book of Revelation that'll tell you what this, you know, like last week they said the candlesticks, we knew that was the churches, and the seven stars was the message to the seven churches, things like that. So they have something that break down the different symbols and things like that for you, so it could be made more simple. So if you want to get in any of that, you could, you know, check with me, and I could look up a good one and print it for you. But thank you. Is there any other comments? Are there any other comments or questions? Anybody would like to add to the lesson? Well, it is now 9:30. I promised to be off at 9:30, and that's our lesson for tonight. So we need to go out with prayer and benediction. If anyone would like to do that, you could press the one button on your phone and I'll open it up. If not, we're going to go ahead and I'm going to go ahead and do a prayer with a benediction and we'll end for tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, gracious God, I want to thank you for the word that went forth. I want to thank you, dear God, for taking time and put the 66th book in the Bible, the book of Revelation. God, in Revelation, it's called the revelation of Jesus Christ. And the message was given by you because it says it in the first chapter. But, Lord, I want to thank you for giving us the revelation of your son. You want us to know who he truly is and what he said he could truly do. Come on now, y'all. Thank you, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. But, Lord, I just want to say thank you. Look down on the family, dear God, that lost their son. And give comfort to that young man that was crying. You know, have mercy upon them, dear God. Lord, I pray that they could have some peace in the midst of this storm. Lord, we all know it ain't easy. You know, and I got calls today, dear God, saying, where is God? You know, the praise of people is asking, you know, but God is where he is. But God, I'm asking for peace for the family. I'm asking that we, you know, don't feel so much oppression and depression. But Lord, you already explained to us in this world don't love nobody. You told us don't put our sights on just the things of the world and material things. But Lord, when we look at our salvation and eternity, this life is such a short period of time. That's how we can make it through the night. But Lord, I just want to thank you. I want to thank you for being God. And I know you don't make no mistakes. Be with that family, dear God, when they, you know, can't understand, you know, and try to place their feelings somewhere. Be with them, dear God. And anybody over around the world that's having abuse, just because. Heavenly Father, all these blessings and our others, I ask. In Jesus' name, for all of our sakes, amen and thank God. And as Peter said in 2 Peter 3:18, it is my prayer that you grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that's our lesson for tonight. I want all of you to be blessed. Continue to study the Word of God for yourself. And God's Word will not return void. Good night and be blessed. God loves you, and so do I.